Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Welcome to the show. A lot of topics to cover today, including the Van Dyke trial, the Cubs, what happened yesterday, what will happen tonight. But first, before anything else, 30 years ago, I had the pleasure of working with a young stand-up comic, a young actor named Bob Odenkirk. Bob joins us on the phone right now. Bob, are you still in show business?
I don't know. Day to day, you never know with show business. You really don't.
Don't give up on your dream, Bob. Stay. It's a dream. Don't give up on it.
All right, I'll hang in there.
All right, thanks.
I had the opportunity of seeing you at the Comedy Womb in Lyons.
My goodness. Boy, those were early days, and I was really roughing it in. But I was trying to figure it all out at the time and having a good time doing it. I love playing the Comedy Womb. Is it still there?
No, it is not. And Thursday nights was the open mic night where you got free pizza, so it was very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were in the audience, or were you performing as well?
My girlfriend Carla Felicia performed there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I would go there and see all you guys, Jeff Garlin, all you people. And so glad things turned out well for you.
Yeah, everybody from that time has made their way and made good careers in show business. It's pretty amazing. I'm writing a memoir right now. It'll be out in about 3 years. I'm not kidding. It's going to take forever, but it's coming along, and I try to share with people the excitement and the wonderful people that I worked with in those early years. And of course, I still see Jeff Garlin all the time. We're good friends, and Lou Schneider from that time works on the Goldbergs with Jeff, and we all still see each other here and there.
Bob, even you, like when you think about yourself back in those days doing places like the Comedy Woman Lions and series of one-nighters here and there, did even you think that you would hit the pinnacle of success that you have achieved?
No way. I was going to use another word in the middle.
I got my finger on the dump button, don't worry.
No, I did not. Listen, I entered into show business skeptical. I'm a good Midwestern boy, and I was skeptical about the chances that I would have be rewarded by the world around me with gifts like the parts that I have here now. So I just went into it because I loved it. I love comedy. I love writing and being with my friends. And I gave myself till I was 30 years old. I said, if I haven't made a living at this when I'm 30, then I'll look for something else. I'll try something else.
Yeah, what would be your something else? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no backup. My degree is in broadcasting with a minor in philosophy from Southern Illinois University. So I don't know what you do with those two things. They're both... I don't know. They're not worthless. I mean, you could just go into there's options, but I don't have a strong backup plan, which is kind of a good thing because you work hard and you take risks because what else are you going to do, you know? But I did give myself a limited amount of time to try to make it because I did go into it with skepticism, and I'm very thankful for everything that has come my way. I really am. I mean, one thing is you have to just like just doing it, even if you're not getting paid much or anything. And if you like it enough to do it anyways, then that kind of is a good sign.
Bob, I always think the ultimate compliment you can pay an actor is watch him or her do a role and say, I can't imagine anyone else in that role. I have a very hard time conceptualizing anyone else playing Jimmy McGill but you.
It's weird, right? I mean, that thing came out of nowhere for me, and I didn't put a lot of stock in it. You know, it was a strange thing to be invited to do Breaking Bad, which is such a serious drama, also very funny if you look at it through the right lens. But I was surprised to be asked. I didn't audition. I showed up, and if they had told me, you know, you're not the right Bob Odenkirk, we wanted the other one, I would have said, no, I get it. I don't know who he is, but yes, you should have checked that first. But I would have gone home and not felt hurt at all. But it turns out to be kind of have played perfectly for me in so many ways.
You know, at first, seeing you on Breaking Bad, it was like, that is a weird casting. And then I grew to love you. And I was just heard telling someone yesterday, I am enjoying Better Call Saul more than Breaking Bad. Is that a bad thing to say? I love it.
You know, I hear that a lot, but I think it's just people feeling like, I think it's just coming to, first of all, you don't know what's going to happen in our show, and you've already seen Breaking Bad once or twice.
Yeah.
A lot of people have seen it two or three times, and it's definitely a show that's worthy of being watched more than once. So I think we're still fresh, and you don't know what's going to happen next, so that's exciting. We have a different tone. We're a different show. It's a little more internal and a little more emotional. And there's less violence, although that's starting to rise up in Better Call Saul. The bad guys are coming to the front of the stage. Look, you know, everybody feels differently as time goes by. I'm glad people are liking Better Call Saul a lot.
It's all good, man.
I don't think anything can beat Breaking Bad. That's right. That's right.
Bob, give us the ultimate story of somebody seeing you or recognizing you and figuring out who you are. That must happen all the time now. What's that like? And give us a strange version of that.
Well, you know, the weird thing is people recognize me from my voice. So, like, I'll be in line at the Rite Aid. I'll be talking to my wife or my daughter or son, and the person behind me will say out loud, Saul? And they haven't seen my face. They've just heard my voice. And that is a strange thing to feel like that people are close enough to you. And I think that's what the show does. Better Call Saul gets you very close to these people. And so you hear their voices almost as a family member or someone close to you. And so to have that, to be identified in that way is a surprising thing to me.
So a pivotal thing, I don't want to give anything away in case people didn't watch last night's episode. Next week's the finale, correct?
Yes, for this season, yes.
Yes.
More to come.
Yes, God, thank God. You and Kim come to a boiling point, and that was a great scene. I love her.
Good. Isn't she great? Rae Seahorn is a fantastic actress who, you know, is very well trained, unlike me. and I learn from watching her prepare and deliver every time. She's amazing. She's brought Kim to life and brought a smart, challenging, you know, strong woman to life on screen who's also likable and sympathetic. And she's just great.
You have mastered the nervous laugh of anyone I've ever seen do a nervous laugh on TV or movies or commercials. You've mastered it, Bob.
That's good.
It adds so much to the character because just at the right time, when you think you're boxed in, you pull out the nervous laugh and I go, oh, this guy can do anything.
That's great. Well, maybe it's a little bit of a tool in my toolkit.
Maybe.
You know, I think Saul is a guy who's always on his toes and looking for an angle in, and he finds them because he never quits. It's one of the things that makes him a little bit likable, although in general, he's a bad guy. He's turning into a bad guy. He started as a good guy, but he's becoming a guy who's really just in it for himself and very selfish, and it's a shame to watch him make that choice, but we'll see where he ends up because we don't know where he ends up. I know everyone talks about this show ending with Breaking Bad, but the truth is we're going to go, I think, past Breaking Bad into another version of this guy. And maybe he'll be, maybe some part of him will be good again.
Yeah, but there is some good in Jimmy McGill. And, like, I don't know, maybe it's guys I dated in high school. You want to fix them because you feel like they have a heart in there somewhere. And at some point, it's like Jimmy just needs to survive and find a way to get there.
Yeah, I agree. You can root for him. I think it's a good thing. I hope people are kind of rooting for him. But the thing is, his feelings are so hurt, and it's that thing where you want people to learn the right lessons from life. You know, you go like, and very often we don't learn the right lesson. We kind of overcorrect in the wrong direction. It's very common, I think, for everybody. I know for me, it's true. And I think he's overcorrecting in a kind of an angry way. And it's an interesting psychological journey.
It is.
There's a big event coming up Saturday, Bob, that you're a part of. It's at Anderson's Bookshop in Naperville. Like I said, it's this Saturday at 7 o'clock. It's you and Eric Idle of Monty Python fame. What's that going to be like, sitting on stage with a legend the size of Eric Idle?
I'm going to melt inside. we're going to actually do it at Pfeiffer Hall because I think it's too big for Anderson's Bookshop.
Oh.
We're doing it at Pfeiffer Hall there at North Central College at 7 p.m. But Anderson's Bookshop is sponsoring it. You know, they're the ones who are bringing the books and the staff to man it, because you, if you get a ticket, you'll get to enjoy me, a crazy Monty Python fan, worshiper of Python, interview one of my heroes of all time, Eric Idle, one of the great. They're all great in Python, but he is in my top three for sure. Maybe he's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Because Eric really did some of the silliest stuff and had just a delightful energy within Python. You know, Cleese played the angry guy who couldn't stand the silliness around him and suffered it. And that was very funny. Eric was a guy who brought a lot of light and upbeat silliness into the show. And so I'm going to be interviewing him about his crazy, incredible life as part of Monty Python, and then everything after it, all the rock and roll years where he hung out with George Harrison and as part of the crew at the early Saturday Night Live, and his time doing the Ruddles. It really, of all the Pythons, Eric's done the most comedy after Python, and all the way up to Spamalot, which is a, you know, big hit. So we're going to talk about his life and his book, which is hilarious and so entertaining, called Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Don't you think the Ruddles is the best parody of all time? I've seen it a dozen times. Every time I see it, I find something new in it.
It is. It is. I mean, I guess you have to compete with Spinal Tap a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Spinal Tap had a kind of a wider, he kind of hit wider on rock and roll in general and a certain kind of rock and roll. But between those two, you're covering every base. Also, I would argue there's something really special about the Mr. Show sketch, The Fad 3. I don't know if you ever saw The Fad 3.
But you and David Cross?
That's a, it's a unique take on the Beatles and their fame, their early fame.
Now, how'd you get hooked up with Eric Idle? This is a pretty cushy gig you got.
Gee, I don't know how it happened. I think my publicist, you know, he was going to speak in Naperville. Naperville's a big city. I don't know if you knew that.
The biggest one, I think.
The largest in the country.
When my family moved there, it was 20,000 people. So it really exploded, and we were part of that early explosion of housing in Naperville. And so they knew I was from Naperville, and I think everybody knows I'm a ridiculous Monty Python fan, fanatic, really. And so they came to me and asked me if I would host it. And, yes. I mean, I got to talk to John Cleese about his book in San Diego last year, and any chance I'd get to hang out with a Python, I will always take.
Bob, you know what's strange? I've been lucky enough to interview three of the guys from Monty Python over the years, and none of the three seems to realize or didn't realize at the time the importance or the magnitude of what they were doing with Monty Python. I don't know how that's possible, but maybe it kept them more humble, maybe.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a hit. I mean, I saw them on stage in Aspen when they had that little reunited meeting, and they said, you know, nobody cared about the show. It really kind of just straggled along for 4 years at the BBC with very, you know, like a little pocket of hippie fans. Eric is the one who points out in his book, like, just when he noticed somewhere around the third season, they did these little short live tours in England, where he noticed the rabid nature of the fans and maybe kind of a how many were developing the size. But it was nothing until many years later. Just it took so many years for the show to slowly develop, and thanks to public TV in America and Channel 11 in Chicago that showed Python on Sunday nights at, I think, 10 p.m.
I thought it was 10:30, but yeah, right around there.
Yeah, my mom wouldn't let me stay up past 11, that's for sure. So and it had to be 10:30 at the latest.
And, you know, I watched it with my mom and sister because we only had one house, or one television in the house, and I couldn't really understand their accent at first, so I would just laugh when my mom laughed. And then I kind of got into it.
You got a cool mom.
Bob, you got
Python, huh?
Yeah, she did.
You got to get Dave Allen on the show and the two Ronnies and the kids from No Honestly, and then you got a show.
Yeah, and the goodies. How about the goodies?
Goodies, bring them on.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Brookfield and always went to Henry's Hot Dogs on Ogden Avenue in Cicero, and I love the little shout-outs that come on Better Call Saul. It's really cool.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, they really take care to try to study the time period and the place, you know, the characters from Cicero,
right,
which is interesting. And I don't know Cicero that well. I used to do stand-up at the Stay Up All Night Disco on Sunday nights. That's the most I was in Cicero.
And for people who don't know, that is the definition of the word hell gig, right? There's nothing worse than doing the stand-up at the stay-out lounge at midnight.
Yeah, it was 2 a.m.
2 a.m.
The show started at 2 a.m. on Sunday nights. I can't think of a better way to launder money than to have shows that start at 2 a.m. and at your club, but on Sunday, on Monday morning. It was not good, but you know, it wasn't bad because everyone was so out of it at that point that they didn't put up a fight. So you did your comedy. It was almost like doing it alone in your apartment, and yet there was this painting of really low energy drinkers that was about 20 feet in front of you, and they were barely moving.
So heckling. That's good.
It wasn't really any heckling. They just you get a little chuckle out of them. If you hit on something funny, you get through your 15 minutes and you leave and take your money. You got paid.
That's easy. Go see Bob Odenkirk. Are you kidding? It's Bob Odenkirk and it's Eric Idle Saturday, this upcoming Saturday at 7 o'clock. What a show it'll be. EricIdleAndersons.brownpapertickets.com is the best bet to get yourself some tickets. Bob, we're thrilled for your success. We're so happy for you. And next time you're in town, please come by. We'd love to see you live.
You got it. Thank you so much.
And we have Eric Idle on tomorrow. Any messages you want us to pass along?
Which side of life should I look on?
The bright side. I go with the bright side. It's Bob Odenkirk, everybody.
Thank you, Bob.
Take care, Bob.
Okay, cool. Take care, guys.
Bye. Bob Odenkirk.
I love him.
Better Call Saul. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
No doubt about it.
Hey, hey! Attaboy, Davey! Woohoo!
Dave Ennett has joined us. All right, this is where I'm confused.
Yeah.
The Cubs played last night to break the tie.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah, 12:05 first pitch.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And that was a playoff game because they had, they were trying to determine which team would go to the wild card. Correct?
Yeah, correct.
That was yesterday.
Divisional champ.
Well, they were trying to determine the divisional champ.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And technically, it was not a playoff game. It was a regular season game, the 163rd game of the regular season.
Was that a makeup game?
No.
All right.
No.
So here's my question.
Yes.
The wild card team is reserved for the team with the most wins who didn't make the playoffs, correct? Didn't win their division.
Right.
So I thought the Cubs were definitely going to be contenders for the World Series. The Rockies' record is not as good as the Cubs.
They have, five less wins than the Cubs? Is that about right?
Four, so five, why is today's game necessary?
Okay,
oh.
So that's That's a good question.
Comes from my husband.
My wife says that no game is ever necessary. A lot of times it'll say game seven if necessary.
It's just like, it's not really do or die.
Right.
Because no one is going to die as a result of this
thankfully,
game.
No.
Jim called me on the way to work. He's like, will you please ask Dave Ennett this question? Because I don't know. Maybe I don't pay attention to the National League. And I'm a Sox fan, so we've never been in this position. But why is today's game necessary?
Okay, well, it's the same in the American League. The American League will play a wild card game tomorrow. With Oakland
New York
and the
Oakland.
Yankees. In 2012, baseball expanded the playoff format. They added the wild card team a while ago. And then they decided, why don't we add another wild card team? We'll have them play each other in one game. And so then you'll have four teams left in each league.
Okay.
And you'll have the two division series, best of five. The winners of those two series will play in the championship series, best of seven, to see who goes to the World Series.
Okay.
The winner plays the winner of the Stanley Cup.
All right, shut up. You're confusing me more.
Okay, so in other words, if you look at the standings, all right, the Cubs and Brewers each were
at 95
and 67 after 162 games, after playing the entire regular season. Same for the Dodgers and the Rockies. They were 91 and 71. So that necessitated a tie-breaking regular season game to determine the division champ. And then the team that lost, in this case, the Cubs in the Central, the Rockies in the West, those were the next best teams record-wise. So they get the two wild card spots. Now they knock each other off. You have one team left, and they will play
against the Brewers,
the team with the best record. That's Milwaukee.
All right.
So that's why
this changed in 2012. You said,
yeah. Well, this
they
changed,
added an extra wild card.
But here's the thing: it's the first time you've ever had to have two of these tie breaking games in one day, and the Cubs haven't been in one since 1998 when there was only one wild card team and they played game number 163 to determine the wild card winner.
Was that against Pittsburgh?
Against San Francisco.
And that's when there was one wild card.
There was only one wild card. So the Cubs and the San Francisco Giants both lost on the last day of the season. Cubs were playing in Houston. And so if they had won and the Giants had lost and the Cubs would have been the wild card, they both lost. San Francisco came to Wrigley Field the next night.
Steve Traxel with the win in that
Steve
game.
Steve Traxel played that game. Gary Gaetti hit a two-run homer to put the Cubs ahead.
The Italian Stallion, Wendy.
The other one.
The other one, right. So I guess Sylvester Stallone would argue that he is the Italian Stallion.
So anyway, so now you have two wild card teams. They play each other one game.
So this is technically a playoff game?
This is a playoff game.
And you say no one the losers do not die, you're saying.
I'm saying
they can't play baseball anymore.
Not this year.
In the old days, they'd put them to death, but they don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
Thankfully.
They don't.
Oh, that's good news.
All right, because that was confusing to me as well. When Jim brought it up, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I would know, but he just was. It seemed confusing. But
it is confusing. And when they first added the wild card stuff, Dave, I don't know how you felt about it, but I said, oh, this waters it all down. But I'm now wrong. I like it better, well, especially this year, because the Cubs wouldn't be in the playoffs if it was the old format.
Yeah, and it's also created a lot of interest. I mean, teams are in contention for the playoffs that wouldn't be under other circumstances. I mean, you can even look at a team like, now, the American League Central didn't have anyone other than Cleveland in contention this year. But if you look at the American League East, where the Boston Red Sox won 108 games, and the Yankees, even though they were close for a long part of the season, they still were finished like 8 or 9 games out, I think. But they're in the playoffs because of the wild card.
So does this make this more fair or no?
It keeps more teams interested. Yeah. It keeps the fans interested. Yeah. And you get into August and September, and a lot of markets, the season would be over. You have no hope,
right?
But now you got hope.
Yeah. So if the Cubs lose tonight, this
they
is a night game. That's it.
That's all there is.
And if they win, what's
they play
the next
Milwaukee.
Time?
Then they go to Milwaukee. The team with the best record in each league plays the winner of the wild card game. So the Boston Red Sox will play either Oakland or the Yankees in the American League. The Brewers ended up with the best record. As luck would have it for the Cubs, the Brewers caught them at the end and beat them for the best record by one game. That's why yesterday's game was so important, because it wasn't only avoiding the wild card game, it was also having home field throughout the National League playoffs. So the Brewers are going to have to lose a series at home to get knocked out of the playoffs.
Right. Dave, it's a new roster for the Cubs. Pedro Strop is on the roster.
Yes,
Jose Cardinal is on the roster. Nobody expected that.
Yeah, because he was on the DL with a stuck eyelid, as
yes.
Everybody knows.
He missed some time with the stuck eyelid.
Here's very quickly they just released the roster, the 25-man playoff roster.
Babe Ruth.
Ruth is not
That's a shock. No one expected
that. I'm just looking real quick.
Oscar Zamora
is not there. Let's see.
Let's whip out old baseball player names for 50, Alex.
Well, it's interesting because this is a roster really for tonight.
For a one day, like this, let's say, and we're all hopeful the Cubs will win, they can readjust that roster for the next round.
Every round you can make
changes. They've got Ron Fairley in for the sacrifice
Ron Fairley.
Bunch.
So Pedro Strop, who hasn't pitched for a few weeks, is on the roster.
Hamstring issue?
That was the hamstring in Washington, remember, where he was
wasn't that the name
out?
Of your book, The Hamstring in Washington?
The Hamstring in Washington.
Let's see.
Carl Edwards Jr. isn't, Dave.
Oh,
Carl
is that
Edwards
true?
Carl Edwards Jr. is not on the roster.
Interesting.
Right. Yep. He's not. Brandon Kinstler, who pitched yesterday, is not on the roster.
Quintana's not, but he started yesterday.
Yeah, but he started yesterday.
Interesting fact about Carl Edwards Jr., he does not cast a shadow. Did you know that about him? He's the only major leaguer in history to not cast a shadow. No one knows why.
All right. When I'm lost on my own show, this is when it's time to take a break. Did anybody get that?
He's very thin.
Oh.
But I still think there's a skinny
shadow. No. Dave, no shadow
okay,
at
I'll
all.
I'll take your word for
he
it.
He is being He's followed
the original
by no
Slender
shadow.
Man,
I'll
right?
have to look more closely. Yes.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks for clearing that up, because I thought the Cubs were being robbed. Yes, I said it.
How about that? I did not expect that from you.
By the way, Terrence Gore.
The speedy Terrence Gore.
Speedy Terrence Gore is on the roster. If you need a base or a pinch runner.
Have you seen this
in the
guy?
Late innings.
No.
It's hilarious to watch.
You can't believe how fast he is.
He is a blur. You probably have seen him right. and you didn't know.
He just took your lunch. He just came in and took your lunch. You didn't even see him.
Wait, was that Carl Edwards' shadow?
Yes.
All right. Well, good luck, Cubs, and thank you, Dave Ennett, for clearing things up. Two wild cards since 2012. Prior to that, there was only one. I guess I was unaware of the change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We sent you a memo.
All right.
Didn't see
well,
it?
Thank
All right.
you.
All right. Thanks,
Dave. Thanks, Dave. Quick break, and it's a Tech Tuesday. We will talk to Bridget Carey from CNET. That's all coming up. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. It's a Tech Tuesday. CNET senior editor Bridget Carey is with us. And Bridget, 90 million Facebook users were logged out of their Facebook account by Facebook. They had to log back on. This happened on Friday. 50 million people's information were breached. I did not have to re-sign into Facebook. Does that mean that I was not one of the ones that was hacked into?
That's the idea. So if you didn't get forced to re-log in, that was your sign that maybe you weren't part of the breach. I mean, they have, you know, way over a billion now users. So it's still a terrible mess for Facebook. And the only reason I think it didn't get even more press is because of all the drama happening with Kavanaugh. Because, honestly, this is, like, one of the worst things that has happened to Facebook with security.
And what access do they have? I mean, I don't know what I have on my Facebook account. I don't know what it's connected to. What could we have damaged in our online stuff?
They could have got anything. It's a big old question mark right now, Wendy. I think we're going to be hearing more about it, because right now what happened was Facebook said, all right, we found a vulnerability. We found that hackers could have done this. We don't know what they took. We don't know what they might have done to people's profiles, or what they have seen and, you know, and it might be using later, or maybe nothing was used. Maybe it was so early that still there's, you know, it was a possibility, but it really wasn't something that was used yet. Either way, if you think that you were part of this because you had to put in your password recently, so maybe you were, you know, maybe part of this, make sure your password for Facebook and isn't used for anything else. It's always a good thing to do, no matter what time of the year it is, no matter what happens. Don't share passwords between other things. But also, think about what information you share on your profile. You got your birthday on there. Maybe anything that could personally identify you or family members. So if someone is trying to gather information to create a false identity, to write credit cards in your name and sign up for things in your name, they can figure out when you were born, where you live, depending on how much you share on your profile. You know, even if it's not shared to the public, I'm talking like they can see your access. They can see as if it was you. So all that private information, your phone number, they got all that.
Also, there's some websites that you can use Facebook as your login point. Like I've got a couple of them where when you log in, you have the option of logging in there or doing it through Facebook. So that's another compromise, isn't it?
Yep, and that's why Facebook, even to be, you know, as a precautionary measure, logged more people out than may have been affected because of that. Because, you know, Instagram, another big one, obviously, owned by Facebook, you know, it would have affected that. So any sort of, you know, outside app that you use Facebook to log into, they could have also tapped into that other app and whatever information you have on that app, too. It's the question mark in all this is what's so freaky, because, you know, here Facebook, it's already on thin ice with our trust,
yeah.
and what happens with our data, and now Facebook's saying, so we don't know exactly what happened yet, but all because of a little bug on the back end. It had to do with happy birthday videos. Whoever built that tool to remind you to send a happy birthday video to somebody had a flaw in it where if you were savvy enough and went to your privacy settings, wanted to view your profile as someone else, and then there's a loophole after a loophole after a loophole, and then bam, they can access the site as you without ever knowing your password.
I've also gotten private messages from people saying, you know, with this hack that happened, people are taking all your information and making another profile, so if you get another friend request from me, don't accept it because that's the fake one. Any truth to that?
That happens even before this breach, and I bet you it'll be even more so now because, all right, if someone could log in and as me without my password, they have access to any photos I've saved. They have access to all my friends. And so if they wanted to create a dummy account to really fool some people, that's very easy to do, yes. And so now it'll be even more convincing. Even if you're like, wait a second, I'm already Susie's friend. Something seems odd. Keep those, red flags. Listen to your little inside voice alert if something smells fishy. But know that, you know, you can't always trust what you see because it could really look like your friend.
So, Bridget, in the last couple of weeks, I've had that happen with three people where I got notes saying, I lost my original Facebook account. I want to reestablish a new one. Can you refriend me? And in two of the three, I did. And then the original friend came back and said, no, I was hacked. That's not me.
Really?
What do I do?
Man, that is... I've seen people say that on my end. They're not been close friends.
Yeah.
And you're telling me this is more widespread than I think people are talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So you... Exactly. This is spooky. And it's bothersome. And you know what's going to do? People are going to stop trusting Facebook and just get off the darn thing. But I would say, just like if you're suspicious of getting a weird email from your bank asking for your information, maybe just go to the source, text a friend. Mm. Hey, you know. Then again, on Facebook, they're not really close friends all the time, right?
Right,
they might not
right.
Be, you know. So just, you know, I guess wait to see what friends they have in common. Because maybe
they'll get hacked too.
Yeah, you don't want to get sucked into stuff. Don't click on links that maybe are like, hey, add me quickly by clicking here. You know,
right.
Never trust a link. Do everything yourself manually. And maybe just stop, go to that person's page that you originally are friends with and go, oh, wait, Susie still exists
it's
on
still
Facebook.
Intact.
Let me just message her. Right.
All right, good.
All right, and we have got to run because we've got to hit news on time today. Elon Musk is stepping down as chairman, so 30 seconds, what do we need to know about that?
He's still going to be in charge of the company as CEO, but for the next 3 years, he's not chairman. He's got to pay $20 million as a fine for this alleged securities fraud, all because he had that tweet back in August 7th that said, he told 22 million followers, I think I'm we're poised to take the company private. And then he quickly goes back on that. So now he's being punished by the SEC. Hmm. So, yeah, that's... now Tesla has to do a few more things to make nice.
Oh.
Should they each give us a Tesla? Would that make things better, Bridget? I'm all right with that.
I think it would.
All right.
I think it's a great recommendation.
Call it a day. All right.
I don't want a Tesla. Am I the only one who doesn't?
It wouldn't be a bad gift, though. If somebody gave you a Tesla,
right,
you would take
maybe.
A Tesla.
Bridget, thank you so much for keeping us up to date on this Facebook breach. Facebook says no credit card information stored with the company was accessed. Anyone can say that. I'll believe it. Just be careful out there. Thank you so much, Bridget.
All right, thanks. Take care.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's all happening here at WGN Radio. You're so pretty in pink, Bill.
It's nice of you to say.
God, I miss the 80s so much.
They're coming back.
I really do.
65 so more years, you'll have them again. Just hang in there.
Oh, I can wear my leggings again.
I don't know if really anyone's ever said that before you, other than you.
Everybody misses the 80s.
Really?
Come on, there's 80s nights everywhere. You went to Ravinia. It was 80s night.
Yes, that's true. I do miss the music, but you just had such a longing in your voice.
I loved it. That was my peak.
Was that your peak?
Well,
yeah.
Fashion-wise, yeah.
Oh.
Now it's all downhill.
Dress like that again. Let's see if it takes off.
It's probably going to come back, although it didn't as much. The 70s definitely came back.
But most of the people that fell for that didn't live through it the first time. You know, they were younger kids that were not around in the 70s who went, oh, this is novel. Let's try this. But I don't know. If you lived through it once, that was plenty.
I don't know. Bell bottoms are very flattering.
Not the tube tops, though.
Tell me
about it.
Glad
they're gone.
I'd go back to a tube top.
Would you?
The white tube tops?
I never wore white. Mary, you loose woman.
I saw a picture of me in a white tube top. I think I was 14.
Man, think of that.
Oh, my gosh, I wore that.
Oh, they were so comfortable.
They were, but, you know, well,
Bill,
I didn't have a problem. Well,
I didn't either.
That was the 70s more, right? The 70s looked very different.
Yeah, that was the 70s.
Today.
Dramatically different. Platform shoes.
Oh.
I knew a guy who had, I'm not making this up, he had an aquarium in the heel of his shoes.
Not someone you knew.
Yeah, somebody I knew.
A fish?
Yeah.
Because Elton John had that. Or...
Elton John did. I saw a picture of Elton John, but this was a guy,
was
a neighbor
Elton
of
Jim?
Ours. No, it was not.
He
it was
would
a
wear those
of ours
today.
Who had shoes. Then there was a goldfish in the heel of each of his platform shoes.
Keep on trucking, baby.
It's interesting, though, because we're in this era, this Me Too, and everything's very cautious, and you know we're coming to terms with a lot of things. But in the 70s... I mean, the
free love, baby.
Oh, and the, I mean, the halter tops and the braless and the, you know, all of that was just a complete, and that was done as a sign of emancipation then, right? So how different it is now.
I was 10, so I didn't need a bra,
me. And it was great.
Let alone the tube top I could wear, and a boy could have worn it and looked the same.
Yeah.
I loved halter top. I'm bringing all that back.
Please do. It's time.
I'm going to become a 2000 hippie.
All right.
The headbands, the flower wreaths around your head.
Yeah.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cher never changed her style. She's
not
still
really.
Wearing that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Just read a big article about her.
She got a little spiky during the 90s.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
The reason you bring this up is...
Because I miss the 80s?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
In the 80s, what do you think of John Hughes movies?
Sure. Yeah.
And then there's a girl in the news that you could have dated.
Yeah, Molly Ringwald, my alternative universe girlfriend.
Baby.
She's making statements.
You're too shy.
Saying,
hush, hush.
Saying that the movies that were made at that time, those John Hughes movies that are considered classics by people who lived through them, we remember them very fondly. But she says that they're extremely incorrect, politically incorrect.
Well, they are.
And they are.
But we were politically incorrect then.
Well, it's not that we were politically incorrect. I'm trying to figure out what the right term for it is. I think we were ignorant as to what was going on, conveniently ignorant a lot of the times. But the things we saw in those movies and other movies of that period, which were widely accepted then, if you go back now, and Molly Ringwald brings up a good point, is that she talks about watching them with her kids or revisiting them now, and they're there's moments in those movies that are very uncomfortable now.
Well, we've learned something. I mean, some of the movies that are mentioned, Animal House, Porky's. Oh, my God. Yeah. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I mean, these are... I guess when I watched them, I didn't gasp horror.
Her take is that the behavior of many of the characters is deplorable. You know, that the way that women were treated, that guys treated girls in the movies. And there's a lot to that, you know?
So what are you supposed to do? Get rid of these movies? Burn them?
Well, that's the question, is how do you do it? I mean... Throughout time, we've looked at things. I'll use this as an example because I think this is the most clear-cut example. Walt Disney makes a movie called Song of the South, which is about the South during slave years. And it's a good movie. It really is. It's got catchy music. The storyline is very entertaining. It's very interesting. But then Disney at some point had to disown the movie because, to some extent, it shows slaves in a certain way, which is... not entirely accurate. Slaves weren't always singing with cartoon rabbits and bears on their left and right.
No.
But Tom Sawyer has been criticized. Huckleberry Finn has been criticized.
Yep.
Because of what was going on at the time, the tone by which they were written, or if it's a movie they were filmed, was reminiscent of that era. And I think the same could be said of the John Hughes movies.
I agree with that. Molly Ringwald's talking about... filmed 16 Candles in the Suburbs of Chicago the summer after I completed the ninth grade. I walked into a video store and asked for a guy named Bill Leff.
You're making this part up.
That's the story, though, that she was filming what movie? Was it Pretty in Pink? Or The Breakfast Club?
Which came first? Pretty in Pink came before Breakfast Club, right?
Breakfast Club, John wrote another movie specifically for me, Pretty in Pink, about a working class girl navigating the social prejudices of her affluent high school.
Yeah.
The film's dramatics are involved getting invited, then uninvited to prom. The movie can seem flimsy. A girl loses her date to a dance. Family forgets a girl's birthday. It's what happened in high school.
I think a better example. Several of the movies that my friends and I went to see when we were in high school had to do with a young person, sometimes a boy, sometimes a girl, losing their virginity to a much older person. My Tutor was a movie with Matt Lattanzi and Karen Kay, where Matt Lattanzi's parents hire this foreign language tutor to come and live with them and teach him, I think it was French.
You sign up for French after the movie?
I stopped going to school. I just stayed in the movie theater and watched the movie every day. There's a movie called Blame It on Rio.
Oh, yeah?
Where
Michael Caine's in that?
Yeah. Michael Caine has an affair with his best friend's daughter, who I think at the time is 16. And all those movies, we watched them, and we were all like, yeah, well, that's what could happen, and it did happen.
Although, yeah. Brian's on the line, 312-981-7200. Brian, you may have put this prophetically. Go ahead.
You can't watch the movies that were made in the 70s or the TV shows in the 70s and the 80s with the attitude of today. They were made already. That's how they were. That's how everybody watched them. That's how it was back then. It was accepted. Okay, everybody wants to talk about acceptance. Well, acceptance was made in the 70s and 80s. People just need to have a thicker skin.
I mean, I think of Animal House, and I never cringed. We laughed at it. It was funny.
Right.
Even though I never went to college, I went to college parties. Sometimes they were like that, sometimes they weren't. But and I didn't go to school in the 70s. I graduated in grammar school in the 80s. We actually just had a reunion on Saturday. But the whole thing of how the movies were made, it was that time. I'm guessing that's how it was in the 60s. And back in the 60s, it was even worse than it than it is today. It just, everybody, like you said, gets all upset about this, that, or the other. I mean, take Blazing Saddles. They show on one of the classic movie channels, and they bleep out a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Why? Because it's going to, it was made back in the 80s or in the 70s. I forget when it was made. Just let 70s. It run. And then put up a graphic that says there could be language in the movie that offends you. If it does, you may want to change the channel. It's like, if I don't like listening to, you know, Steve Cochran in the morning, I don't listen to him. You know, you have choices of what you want to listen, what you want to watch, but knowing research, you know, there's enough out there that you can research a movie or what the concept of a movie is. And for Molly Ringwald to be like upset about this and everything else is like, you made this.
And she would be nowhere without these movies. I mean, that really broke her. All right, Brian, we got to run, and please start listening to Steve Cochran again. Thank you so much.
I just thought of another quick example, and then we'll take a break. The Honeymooners, one of the best sitcoms of all time. There's not a single episode of The Honeymooners that at some point Ralph Kramden isn't threatening his wife that he's going to bang zoom her to the moon. How would that play today if there was a sitcom about a husband and wife, and in every single episode the husband said to the wife, "I'm going to pound you." Think about it.
You're
Ralph
right.
Kramden, he'd hold his fist out and start walking toward her.
But he never did it.
He never did it. But the threat alone is really pretty bad. So offensive. All right. What are your thoughts on this? How do we deal with movies and television shows from yesteryear and the way certain subject matters were handled? What do you do with that? It's 312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I also want to tell you the Steve Cochran Show has two free pairs of tickets to a catered suite for the Chicago Blackhawks home opener on Sunday against Toronto, so be listening tomorrow morning from 6 to 10 a.m.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Molly Ringwald, the actress from so many John Hughes movies of years gone by. She says a lot of those movies don't hold up. Not only don't hold up, but they're downright offensive in the way women are treated. We mentioned a whole bunch of movies and books and TV shows from olden days and how they would play out today. What are your thoughts? 312-981-7200.
Pam, what do you think?
I said to the girl, I just am kind of in awe of this whole, we have to fix everything that happened in history. You know, from Tom Sawyer's book to The Honeymooners. First of all, you really got to have a lot of self-confidence in yourself. You should have that. You should teach your children that so that you understand this is entertainment and this is reality. And when it comes to reality, you hold your own. You put yourself into a strong position. And then there's entertainment, which makes us laugh. I laughed hysterically at The Honeymooners. And you know, my parents taught me that you be a strong person and you take control of your life. And by the way, this is a TV show.
Yeah, it's not real life.
Right, right.
Yeah, and you know what? Even in some of the movies that I think back and look at, I learned from some of those movies by putting together what my parents taught me and what I saw in the movies. I knew when it was right or wrong in the movies, and I knew how to relate to that in my real life. But everybody just wants to make everything so nice, and I hate to have to say it, but there's good and evil in the world. It's not all going to be nice. So you better show some of the bad part of it so that you learn how to make the good out of it.
Thank you for your thoughts on this, Pam. We appreciate you calling.
Take care.
And they're telling a story. Sometimes stories are bad. Sometimes stories are scary.
Sure.
Sometimes stories are mean.
A texter, Wendy, says, what about Summer of 42? I always loved that movie with an older woman and a teenage boy. Beautiful setting, but not so good today. Did you ever see that movie? It used to be on the Channel 7 3:30 movie all the time when we were
Summer
kids.
Summer of 42?
Summer of 42,
That's bad planning.
No, it was great. I couldn't wait to come home from school and watch Jennifer O'Neill and Gary Grimes.
She was beautiful.
Ah, so beautiful. But that's a perfect example of, I mean, the subject matter, both then and now, is kind of tentative. You know, she was a woman in her 30s, I think late 20s, early 30s, whose husband was off at war and took a liking to this boy on an island in the summer.
And as a kid watching that, I went, wouldn't that be great? You know, but now, like as an adult watching it, you go, creepy.
What was the, wasn't there a movie that was up for an Oscar that involved the tutor or something? There was a young boy and his, there was a teacher. I can't think of the name of it.
I'd need to know more.
I don't know the name of it. Somebody can help me. It was an older man with a younger boy, and they went on vacation together.
Oh, Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah.
Yeah, from last
year. I mean,
year.
Isn't that kind of in this day and age?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Again, you're telling a story.
Sure.
So stories like that happen. Not that they're right or wrong.
Right.
Helen wants to jump in on this conversation. Hi, Helen.
Hello. Yeah, I was thinking about Grease, the movie.
Sure.
And, you know, it's telling a story. We all enjoyed it. It was released in 78. But, you know, the summer nights, the lyrics, the men's lyrics are very offensive, but the girls' lyrics are very sweet and innocent, and then kind of shaming Stockard Channing and look at
Rizzo.
Yeah, Rizzo. Yeah. She sang the song. There's the worst things I could do. Yeah, it's telling a story, but when you think about it, you know, if you, there's a website you can go on and listen to all the lyrics of songs of the 60s and 70s, and you'd want to take a shower afterwards.
A friend of mine's daughter was in a play of it in high school. That's what they did 2 years ago now. And he said, it never occurred to me how those lyrics, he goes, they're very offensive. He goes, as a kid, I watched it a dozen times. It didn't even occur to me. He goes, but as an adult, when your daughter's singing it, the next time you go, oh, my God.
That's when it hits home.
Yeah.
Helen, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Thanks,
thank
Helen.
You very much. How about Kevin? Can we talk to Kevin? Hi, Kev.
All right. Hey, I'm going to be have a mind dump because degrees of separation, Jasmine will figure it out. So let's see. We go from Molly Ringwald, Breakfast Club, then Michael, the redhead in that one. Then he goes
Anthony
to
Hall.
Weird science. Anthony Hall, thank you. So different things in the Breakfast Club, but then different things very much. Michael and his pal creates a woman, their own woman, you know, in Weird Science.
Yeah.
Then I also wanted to mention, like, the tie-in, Weird Science, the older brother was in Twister.
Mm-hmm.
So
Bill Paxton.
And then Blazing Saddles, Family, All in the Family, and Jeffersons. All things that just wouldn't be able to be done today.
Agreed. Thank you for that list. Wow.
Well, that's good. That's good that Jasmine keeps us on hold for a little bit of time. It's wonderful.
Right.
But see, I came up with all those degrees of separation fitting your topic.
Well, perfect. Okay. We appreciate that, Kevin. Thanks for all the thoughts.
Of those, of the list that Kevin just gave, and they're all available through Burrell Transcripts, Wendy, All in the Family at the time was the one that was considered highly controversial at the time. They were always in a battle with the network censors over the things that Archie would say. I would love to see how that would play out today. A guy like that, you know?
Yeah. That would be interesting. And I'm offended by Weekend at Bernie's because it's disrespectful to dead people.
Yes, it is.
Judy Pilek has texted us. It's called evolution. We get smarter and more cultured every decade. And then she adds, as the Lion King said, you can't forget the past. You have to learn from the past, or something like that.
Oh.
So thank you, Judy, for checking in.
Yeah, and for quoting Lion King. I didn't see that coming. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news, and then there's more show.
Oh, there is no break.
There is no break.
All
Can
right.
Can I butt in real quick?
Yes.
Just outbound on the Stevenson of California. We have all lanes blocked right now with a semi-fire.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
That's awesome. Not good. I hope that's cleared up in a couple of hours, because I will be heading out on the Stevenson.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
He went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
They all did say it's Excitable Boy.
They were right.
David Hochberg, Vice President of Mortgage Lending at Pearl Mortgage, P-E-R-L, Pearl Mortgage. David, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Good. The interest rate went up. Yeah. I know it affected me because my HELOC went up.
Yes, it did.
That's happening to everyone.
Yes, it did. Yes,
what should
it
we
is.
Do?
You should take a look at possibly paying it down if you can, which most people can't.
I can't.
Or you should take a look at rolling it into your first loan if you do not like the variability of the payment. So what does it mean for people? A quarter of a point increase. The prime rate went up a quarter of a point.
This is the third time this year?
Third time this year. At the beginning of the year, at this time last year, was 4.25. Now it's at 5. What does that mean? That means that for every $10,000 that your listeners borrow on their home equity line of credit, mm-hmm. also known as a HELOC, they're paying $21 more a month. Most people don't have $10,000 on their line of credit. Most have $50 to $100. We just talked to a guy this weekend, $125,000 on his line of credit. So what this means is if you have $100,000 on your line of credit, you're paying $210 more a month.
Or that's pretty substantial.
Or $630 more a month from this time last year. Okay, so it's starting to add up, folks. Now, for everybody that's driving around or sitting in their office or sitting at home having a coffee saying, well, it doesn't matter to me because I don't own a house. I don't have a home equity line of credit. Well, guess what? If you have any debt on your credit cards, your credit card monthly payments just went up as well because those are tied.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. And if you're going to buy a car, your financing cost to buy that automobile just increased. Mm-hmm. So it's getting more expensive for people to borrow money, and people have to be aware, your listeners need to be aware, that they have to get ahead of this because as the economy continues to get better, the interest rates are going to continue to go up.
Tariffs play into this in any way, shape, or form?
Not at all.
I have to give a little
right now, at least,
credit card hack to listeners out there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say which card it is, but it was a credit card company that I called and said, I want to do a check and check how much my interest rate's at right now. Yep. And I don't have a really huge balance, but I just thought I'd check. And it was like along the lines of 26% or something like that. And I said, is there any way that you can reduce that interest rate? And they said, we can put it at 0 for a year. I said, well, sign me up for new purchases only, not what you currently have. So if you have a really big balance, that's not going to help you. But when did this happen where you can just call and ask for them to reduce your rate?
It's always been there. It's always been there. Here, ComEd offers a product to their low to moderate income consumers that have ComEd that you could get reduced ComEd rates. They will come in and winterize your home and do all this stuff. All people have to do is call ComEd and see if they qualify. Okay, that's it. It's like it's an 800 number. All they have to do is call. It's that simple. But people don't call. 40% of the ComEd, this isn't a commercial for ComEd. I had them on my show, and I was amazed. 40% of their users qualify for a discounted rate. All you have to do is call ComEd and see if you qualify. You have to live in a certain area and make a certain amount of money. If you are a landlord, if you are a owner of investment properties, and more than 50% of your tenants are low to moderate income, ComEd will come in and do a complete efficiency overhaul of your building for basically free.
So when you say winterize, you mean put in insulation, sealing cracks,
yes,
whatever needs to be done.
Caulking, insulation.
And that's no cost.
It's no cost if you qualify.
But that's for people who...
low to moderate income.
Yes.
Right, but most of their 40% of their
bills,
users are low to moderate.
Yeah.
So you're saying, why don't people, how come,
But how would I know to call the credit card company and ask them?
You have to talk about it on the radio, and you need to educate the people like we're doing right now.
Okay? And, you can do that with your cell phone a lot of times. You call, and it just kills me because they're like, oh, there's a huge special going on. Would you like to sign up for it? And I'm like, no, I'd like to continue paying $500 more. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Of course I would.
Mm-hmm. And, here's another trick. You could call up your credit card company. We've talked about this hundreds of times on the radio. You call up your credit card company and ask them to increase your availability, how much you could borrow on your credit card.
Your limit.
Your limit. You've done that. And that immediately helps your credit score because it increases your availability.
Because it shows you're more responsible
to have more.
Okay, here. It's very simple math, right? So if you have a $1,000 limit, right, and you have $900 extended, you're at 90%. That's bad. Okay, if you go to 2,000, right, you're at 45%. You're 900 against 2,000, you're at 45%. It makes you look better. I'm not saying go out there and throw on another $900.
You can't spend it. You just need to get it.
It's one phone call.
Self-control, people.
I received an email from a daughter of a WGN listener. Her daughter missed a mortgage payment in January. Her and her husband want to buy in the spring. You know, should they hire a attorney to fight the late mortgage payment? A cost went up. They didn't catch it. They were on auto pay, and it went late. They spent a couple of months fighting with the bank. The bank wouldn't change. I said, listen, you could hire an attorney for a couple of grand.
Yeah.
Probably bang your head against the wall, waste a lot of time, or we could do a bunch of other things. Like, number one, call up your credit card companies that you have. Same thing I just said. Increase your credit limits. Pay off your credit cards every single Friday. Continue to use them for the four T's: toothpaste, toilet paper, tampons, transportation. Use them, but pay them off every Friday, and then call up a local bank that I do business with and open up a couple of unsecured loans that show up on their credit report. Pay them off in 90 days, and their credit scores go up. This is a little tricks of the trade. Your listeners need to understand that there are techniques out there, like calling up their credit card companies and saying, hey, I'm in a little bind right now. What can you do? You know, can you help me out? Hey, you know, can I get a little more availability? I want to try to enhance my credit. Can I get a little more availability? You know, can you double my limit? All they could say is no. It's worth the phone call.
And
right?
They also gave an option of, again, thank God I don't have a really big balance, but if I had one, for your minimum payment, if you sign up for automatic payments, they give you cash back, like 1% for your minimum payments every month for a year.
Okay.
So that could kick back and help get your balance down as well.
Sure, if you have the money available to make those minimum payments
right.
at the time that they want to make the minimum payments.
Correct.
The challenge that you have is a lot of your listeners right now, and we've talked about it before, carrying between $20,000 and $40,000 worth of credit card debt. Okay, your listeners have two or three kids, have a sick parent, you know, have become their parent's parent. A lot of balls are in the air, and it sounds great and sounds easy. Oh, yeah, put it on auto pay. It's no big deal. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Car tire goes out, there's $200, right? Transmission goes out, there's a couple of G's. Roof goes out, I got to put 5, 10, 15 grand. Air conditioner goes out, heater goes out, I got to do that. You know, my basement flooded. We haven't had any rain this year. You know, wink, wink. You know, permaseal's backed up because they're so doggone busy. You got to put 5, 10 grand in your basement. You know, life happens. You know, everything's great. Everybody goes on a 15-year fixed loan that are carrying 20 grand worth of credit card debt, which completely blows my mind. That doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, that's great. You're paying your mortgage off over here, but you've got $20,000-$30,000 worth of credit card over here, and your credit card debt's costing you more than your mortgage payment. How does that make sense?
Because you have to live in your house, you feel that you can slowly pay off your credit card.
Sure. And then reality hits where your credit card, your $30,000 worth of credit card payments is costing you $1,200 a month, and your mortgage payment over here is costing you $1,000. And then if you combine it together, it'd still be substantially less, and you could still pay your house off faster and get yourself out of debt. So, again, we've said this hundreds of times. It's not about the rate. It's about the monthly payment. I'm not trying to scare people. We've been talking about how we have a better chance of seeing the 30-year fixed hit 5% than we do hit 3% again. We're right around 5%. Okay, and there was an article in Forbes that I forwarded to my team yesterday. You know, what's the business going to look like when the 30-year fix is in the fives? We're basically in the fives right now. I just quoted a lady on a cash out refinance yesterday with shaky credit, 5.25, 5.375 to do an 80% cash out refinance. That's where we're at. She didn't blink an eye because that's where the rates are at. But it was still cheaper for her to take the money out, pay off her debt, and invest into our house instead of taking out any other type of loan.
All right. If people want to get in touch with you to figure out if a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, is right for them, how do they reach you?
Or if they should roll their home equity line of credit into a regular mortgage, 312-751-1333, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or simply go to WGNDavid.com.
Thanks. More ahead. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
I'm actually waiting for a front door from Gilkey. So it's real easy to get into my house right now.
There's no front door in your
no
house?
Front door.
Wendy, I'm not sure that's safe. Please, get yourself a good front door.
It's on order.
Do it quickly. They've just put out the 300 new words that have been added to the Scrabble dictionary.
Oh, we're not going to have time. Can we bring it onto the screen?
I think we can get all 300 in. You don't think we can?
Start talking
in
fast.
9 minutes? Here's the problem with this list. And yeah, let's do it. We'll do it on the stream. But here's the problem with the list. They tell us what the words are, but they don't tell us the definitions of the words.
They do this every year because then I'm here Googling.
Right. And that's not fair.
I'll get my Googler ready.
Some of them are words that we're hearing quite often, like twerk is a word depending on the circles you travel in. And for me, Wendy, I hear the word constantly every day. I'm hearing twerk.
That's just coming in now? That word's been around for probably 8 years.
Yeah, I would say between, yeah, I don't know if eight, but several years. But this is the first year that it's an acceptable word if you're playing Scrabble. Do you play Scrabble at all?
You know, I have a nice Scrabble set that I am going to pull out this weekend and make somebody play with me.
Yeah. Because
I love that game.
It's a fun game. Can I recommend, there's a game called Upwords that's like Scrabble, but in addition to putting words down on the playing board itself, you can also, there's tiles and they stack
vertically
upwards. So you're changing words both flat and
that's
upwards.
That's too complicated.
It takes a little getting used to, but it's actually, there's more strategy than Scrabble.
I don't care about winning. Well, I guess I do, but I just care about wowing people with really great words.
Wow.
That's really the highlight of my Scrabble playing.
Well, that's part of the game, I guess. But, all right, so words like twerk are on there now.
A dance or a dance move involving thrusting hip movements and a low squatting stance.
Oh, yeah, that's your twerk right there. The word ew, E-W, which
that's been a word since we were born.
Yeah. Yeah, the official word of the Eric and Kathy show. You'd hear that word on Eric and Kathy quite often. Some of these.
Ew.
Oh, sriracha is now acceptable.
Again, that's been.
It's been around.
I guess that is a craze now. Why not Cholula? Why is that not the hot sauce of everyone's love?
I don't think
because that's the only hot sauce I use. I don't like sriracha. Why is there an extra R in there? Please, did Brett Favre decide how to spell that?
Sriracha. Now,
sriracha.
I have to say, if you're familiar with the word, with the game of Scrabble and the rules of Scrabble, you only get seven letters. So if you can spell out sriracha, which also contains seven letters, good for you. But I can't imagine. I mean, I know they have to include seven-letter words because that's still allowable. Actually,
you can. Can't you add on to it?
Yeah, yeah. But it's hard. It's very difficult to. And I think you get 50 points if you use all seven letters, 50 additional points.
Oh, yeah, bonus.
But then there's other words on here that I don't know what they mean. What does this word mean? Q-A-P-I-K. Quapik?
Say that again.
Q-A-P-I-K. I've never heard of that before. And most of your Q words, of course, are followed by a U. It's Q-U. Q-U, pal. But I don't know what Quapik means.
So again, just...
Q-A-P-I-K. But I will use this in Upwards and Scrabble from here on in.
Q-A-P-I-K.
Yeah.
It's a monetary unit of Azerbaijan.
Oh. I guess I could have guessed that. I don't know why I didn't. Here's a word that I would have thought would have been on the Scrabble list years and years and years ago, but it's just making it this year. Yowza. Doesn't that sound like it's from the 40s? You know those contests where people had to dance well into the night, and if you fell asleep, you're out of the contest? I would assume the word yowza came from around then, the 1940s. But as of now, you can use yowza.
I have a list with the definitions as well.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. So my job's just become easier.
All right. You want to throw some out now or wait till the stream? It's up to you.
We can do a couple more.
Do a few now.
Oh, what I'm doing it?
What is this one, by the way? Aquafaba. A-Q-U-A.
They're hosting SNL next week.
Aquafaba. No, that's a similar name. It's Aqua something. I don't know
who that is either.
It's the first time.
I am so unhip.
Don't feel bad. I swear to you. It's the second time in SNL history that they've named the host of the show, and I've looked at everyone in my family going, anybody? Does anyone know who this is?
My 15-year-old didn't know it
either. Didn't know who it was?
Who is hosting next week? Aquafina,
which I thought was...
I think it honestly is.
Like, isn't that water? That's like...
Yeah.
Pepsi makes that, I think.
Aqua...
It's something like that. If it's not Aquafina, it's something incredibly similar.
Aquafina is going to bridge SNL's episode, Aquafina.
My daughter explained to me that Aquafina is in the movie Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, well, that explains... She's an American rapper, actress... And television personality.
And you can now use her name as a Scrabble answer.
A-W-K. So Aquafina.
Oh. You have to say it that way?
I guess. I don't know. Aquafina? What was the word you gave?
Aquafaba. That's her brother, I'm imagining. Or father.
How do you spell that?
A-Q-U-A-F-A-B-A. Aquafaba. Now, that's an eight-letter word, so you have to build that onto an existing letter. Good
Aquafaba
luck.
Aquafaba is a food because it's on Bon Appetit. Bon Appetit!
Oh, Julia Child.
It is...
Fava, F-A-V-A?
No, F-A-B-A.
Aquafaba.
Oh, Faba.
The vicious, viscous canned chickpea liquid.
Ugh, that sounds...
Well, that sounds delicious.
So good. Can we get them as a sponsor? I would love to promote that.
Unless I'm incorrect...
Chickpea liquid.
A better What's word for, dinner, for that would be chicklick.
It's yes, it would. What do we have for dinner,
Mom? It's a cooking
Mom?
Liquid of beans and other legumes like chickpeas, so it's kind of the starchy stuff that you dump
like
out.
Like hummus byproduct?
No, hummus is chickpeas that are smashed. When you open
a can
of...
they tell you to reserve a liquid and put it back into something because it does flavor stuff, but
yeah.
Just the way it's this doesn't explained, sound good, it doesn't though. Sound very good.
Here's a for instance. When you make chili, you're supposed to dump the chili beans in with the liquid.
Right.
That
right,
is
right.
Aquafaba.
Oh, it is?
That liquid is aquafaba with bean juice in it.
Oh,
it's
right.
Water with bean juice.
All right. I'm getting me so hungry. I don't know that we can do the bonus hour now, Wendy. I'm starved.
Aquafina should promote Aquafaba.
Yeah. Get them together.
And we're Aquavelva.
Reunite them. All right. We'll take a quick break. Wendy and I are headed to the stream for more mayhem. Or you can stick around and listen to Steve.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's coming up next on 720 WGN Radio.